All right, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Breakout Finder video cast. You, of course, know who I am. My name is Nate Liss. You can find me on Twitter at @AnOutrageJew. And with me is Ryan Lopes. You can find him at StillRyan5, part of Breakout Finder. And with us, the first guest that we've ever had, appropriately,
God help us,
wearing glasses for no reason whatsoever, other than the fact that he knows he's going to go so hot takey, Matt Kelly at @Fantasy_Mansion. God, Matt.
You think it's like a welding shield?
Somebody's going to need one.
For the hot flames?
Well, that's what I'm expecting tonight. I've done a little pre-conversation.
Putting the Hakeem Butler enthusiasts on blast.
Oh, my gosh. My heart is racing, boys.
Okay. Look, I'm not going to waste any time, Matt. I want to get right into this. This episode is going to feature you. Ryan and I have done a bunch of these, but you're on.
I was expecting you to waste a lot of time. This is new.
No, this is going to be a change of pace for you. So let's get right into it. Favorite 2019 wide receiver. Who do you got?
AJ Brown, easily. I'll have more AJ Brown in Dynasty than any other because I'm trying to trade up or trade down, maneuver my way into that 105 slot. And I think AJ Brown is going to be there 99 times out of 100 because of this groundswell of support around Hakeem Butler. It's going to crowd out A.J. Brown out of the top four, even though A.J. Brown is the second-best wide receiver in this class and should be ranked number one if he lands in San Francisco and N'Keal Harry lands in Baltimore, for example. Then you can build a case for A.J. Brown being the number one wide receiver in this class. I love Harry. I love Brown. They're in a tier by themselves because they have no red flags. They check all the boxes. That's who you want. The highest floor wide receivers that are assured NFL production. Most likely, N'Keal Harry, A.J. Brown will be perennial Pro Bowl wide receivers. They're the class of the class. They're in a tier by themselves. And then there is a significant gap down to the other receivers in this class after Harry and Brown. But Harry is a better value in Dynasty rookie drafts. So I love A.J. Brown most.
All right. Well, I was supposed to go second on this list, and I had N'Keal Harry for a lot of reasons. Matt touched on a bunch of them. But, you know, great size-adjusted speed, 95th percentile breakout age, 88th percentile college dominator, 21 years old, going to be a first-round pick. Not going to be the first receiver off the board, so likely going to go to a pretty decent landing spot. I'm with you on the A.J. Brown thing. I'd be curious where both of them go. But with that being said, Ryan, you've heard our number one wide receivers. So who is yours?
So he's not my one, but as far as favorites go, I am. And Matt had me up against the ropes off air. Dude was giving me noogies in the corner. No one else saw that. Kind of roughed me up a little bit. But I am.
You look shook.
I am a Hakeem Butler fan through and through myself. There's a couple other guys who I really, really, truly value their opinion on an annual basis. And I know our friend, Matt Kelly, is on the other side of that spectrum for some reasons, which I'm going to give him the floor here in a second.
On the other side.
I don't know how you deal with this on a weekly basis, Nate, but bro, this is so Hakeem Butler for me, man, again, and the reasons that I'm going to state, you know, again, Matt doesn't watch the film. Okay. He's a numbers guy through and through.
All right.
Okay. Tape grinders such as myself, as I'm sure I'm going to be called, man, you throw on the Hakeem Butler tape. This dude is out here. He's playing at a different level than most of these defensive backs, man. 6'5", 36 inches vertical.
He's 6'7", 8 inches taller than these poor college running backs.
He makes it look easy.
He's winning,
man.
Kelvin Benjamin won at the college level. And then he's going to go to the professional level, and he's going to have to improve his footwork and improve every aspect of his game to become a technician at the next level and beat actual NFL cornerbacks that are bigger, stronger, faster than the college cornerbacks that he was facing. I don't like his chances.
So Matt just threw out a Kelvin Benjamin comparison, which is, I think that's in the range of outcomes. That's obviously, that's not the trajectory that we want him on.
He's fast Kelvin Benjamin.
I've seen Plaxico Burress, Greg Cosell, legendary film grinder, Greg Cosell, threw out a high-end A.J. Green comparison. That's, again, the numbers.
Greg Cosell's never been wrong.
And our very own player profile likens him to a Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall was a good football player, much like Hakeem Butler.
But that's a stretch. He doesn't have a lot of comps, right? He is an enigmatic wide receiver, just like Kelvin Benjamin was an enigmatic wide receiver, just like Devontae Parker, Josh Doctson, enigmatic, big, burly, huge wingspan X receivers. And 20 years ago, he would have been my 101. But not today, not in today's NFL, where versatility is at a premium, route running is at a premium, and I don't see it for Hakeem Butler. Maybe in a couple years, they can park him outside and he can be a high-end decoy, but I think that's his ceiling in the NFL.
I know this was a topic of conversation a few weeks ago for you guys. You guys put friend of the show, Fusuvu, on the spot. And again, he is a, much like myself, he is a fan of the big wide receiver. We got kind of left hanging with Dorial Green-Beckham.
You know, Hakeem Johnson's no longer in the league, right?
I haven't seen him for a while. I haven't seen Jimmy Johnson for a while.
And to be fair, nobody was more on the spot than Fusuvu when he was winging takes on there. But let's the Hakeem Butler thing is gonna go well into his rookie season. Matt has dug his heels in on this one.
Hakeem Butler needed to produce as a second and third year wide receiver at Iowa State. There's no excuse why he didn't produce more. And it's a glaring red flag on his profile. He has the production curve at the college level, similar to Doctson, similar to Devontae Parker. And he has a similar game to those wide receivers. And the way NFL offensive coordinators are using those wide receivers is now largely a decoy role in the NFL.
Well, for what it's worth, of 20-yard receptions or greater, his big play rate was 42% on the season. So that's one of the highest amongst anybody in this class, which is evident by his 22.
Wait, what was A.J. Brown's big play rate in his fourth year? What was N'Keal Harry's big play rate in his fourth year? DK Metcalf's
27%.
Big play rate in their fourth year. Oh, that's right. They don't have a fourth year. So you're comparing apples to oranges. If you redshirt, you're so raw you have to redshirt? And then you play 4 years? Okay. By your fourth year, you should be developed to a place where you could produce against Iowa State competition. And sure enough, he did that.
But I think his athleticism has always been there.
The premium wide receivers don't need that extra year of seasoning. It's unfair to even compare them. Because what would A.J. Brown produce next year if he stayed at Mississippi? We don't know.
Right.
More than Hakeem Butler, though. That's my guess. Spoiler alert.
But before we wrap this up and move on to running backs here, because I as Nate alluded to, I know
your production.
I know we're going to talk about
comparing him to wide receivers that came out after 3 years.
Sure, this is always our argument.
Heavily,
I'm not. Somehow I always end up on the side of Hakeem Butler.
Nate's taking bullets.
I always end up on the side of whoever it is, just because I like to play devil's advocate with Matt anyways. I love to just throw shit out
there. Juju Smith-Schuster shredded as a true sophomore, as did A.J. Brown. In his second season in college, Hakeem Butler, 134 receiving yards. Joke.
What do we make of the last? I'm gonna throw this out there. Let's do what we want with it. What do we make of Player Profiler's 88th percentile college dominator rating for our friend Hakeem Butler?
Right, we don't generate rankings based on two metrics.
We certainly don't. But the college dominator, in addition to the athletic profile,
right, the late college dominator needs to be discounted. That's what I'm saying. If you achieve your college dominator in your fourth season, when you are being drafted against, judged against, compared against receivers that didn't even have the opportunity to play a fourth season, that needs to be heavily discounted. That's why we have Breakout Finder, because it puts a premium on the age at which a player dominated.
I'm gonna do one last thing here.
A Breakout Finder sticker on your vehicle. You represent Breakout Finder. How is it that I know more about Breakout Finder than you do?
This is the first time he said this to somebody else and not me.
he also accused you of having the bumper sticker.
No, not the bumper sticker. The fact that he knows more about it than I do. All right, look, if you got a take to add to Hakeem Butler, let's do it. Otherwise, I'm going to roll to the next question because Matt's got places to be, apparently. He's got the glasses. He's got the Prada glasses on. And
much like Josh Doctson, who had the first-round draft capital does not change. Again, we're looking ahead a couple weeks now. Draft capital for you does not change anything for Hakeem Butler.
I'm expecting him to go in the first round, and I think that Josh Doctson is his ceiling.
Okay, I'm moving on to the next question. But I'm going to tell you that these are not the same two players. Their profiles don't match whatsoever. But we're moving on. We're moving on. All right, Matt, who is your top running back prospect in this class?
This one is easy. Is it not?
Easy peasy.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's easy. It's Miles Sanders. Is there anyone else that he even compares to Miles Sanders in the athleticism and production department? Because you know, we want the Venn diagram, the player in the center of the Venn diagram, where unlike wide receiver, athleticism matters a lot for running backs. So you want the athleticism over here, the production over here, and where they meet. Where are those running backs? Well, in this class, there's really only one running back that meets in the middle. And that's Miles Sanders with the 75th percentile athleticism across the board on Player Profiler. Speed score, burst score, agility score. And then when given an opportunity finally, because he was parked behind Saquon Barkley for many years, Saquon Barkley exits. He enters a pretty anemic offensive situation with a below average offensive line, below average overall efficiency, bad quarterback play. And I think he got the most out of the situation that he was airdropped into. You got to imagine him on a better offense would have had a higher yards per carry, would have been more dominant, and probably would have bubbled up into the first round conversation. But because he was banished to the Penn State offense, then he can percolate under the surface, and then we can get value on him. He can fall to the mid to late first round of dynasty rookie drafts where we vacuum him up. If I can't get AJ Brown, then I'm pushing the button on Miles Sanders.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, man. Miles Sanders had the athleticism, the 75th percentile Spark X score. But the other thing for me that was plenty requisite production that checked the box was the 24 receptions just this last season. That's the same as Dalvin Cook had, same as Amir Abdullah, Daryl Henderson, Tevin Coleman, Ray Rice, Deion Lewis, Darren Sproles. Tons of guys have come out with this level of receiving production and gone on to the NFL to produce significantly greater. So he checked the boxes in an area where a player like this with lower production overall, because of course he sat behind Saquon Barkley, he produced highly in the receiving area, which I expect to be a big part of his game going forward. What's your take, Ryan?
I was just going to say, I was very happy when I logged back on, pulled up the show sheet, and I saw all three of us had Miles Sanders written down. After knowing that I was going to jot down Hakeem Butler's name before, knowing that we're gonna leave that topic and talk about Miles Sanders, we are all in agreement about Miles Sanders. Again,
you needed to win.
I needed something, and I got it. Nate and I talked about Miles Sanders I'm back. I left momentarily, but I'm back. No, Nate and I chopped up Miles Sanders before on our running back show. Again, Matt did a good job covering all the bases. Again, he's that perfect complement between the adequate production and obviously a player that was always a highly touted recruit out of high school, got stuck in an unfortunate situation in Penn State, but went into Indianapolis, tested at the combine, probably woke up a lot of people that really weren't quite sure what they were getting. So again, parlayed that highly touted background that fit in that Penn State offense with a strong combine. So again, he's checking all those boxes, especially in this class. We don't have very many players at all in the running back group that we can safely say did that. So Miles Sanders,
just like AJ Brown and N'Keal Harry are in a class by themselves, and then there is a gap to wide receiver 3, 4, 5. There's a gap from Miles Sanders to the next running back on the rankings.
I like that.
So, I mean, and yeah, and that's true. Miles Sanders doesn't have a boatload of production for obvious reasons, but amongst a class like this,
he doesn't need it.
The athleticism has saved him. I mean, the athleticism is really what has put him above all these other people in this particular
because
class.
Because it matters a lot more for running backs.
For sure.
It's a lot more predictive of future production than athleticism for wide receivers. That's why I'm not letting the athleticism wag the dog with Hakeem Butler like Ryan Lopes.
Okay, so so here's a question. If the taking running shots. Back if the running back situation in this draft class seems obvious, the RB1, is the tight end one obvious, Matt? Who do you have at tight end?
Oh, Hockenson by far. Because what happened? Hockenson supplanted, banished, usurped Noah Fant. And Noah Fant was the best tight end coming into the 2018 college football season. And TJ Hockenson rendered him obsolete because TJ Hockenson has the all-purpose game. He has the all-around game. Essentially, in this class, Hockenson is the O.J. Howard and Fant is the David Njoku. The move tight end, the pumped-up move tight end who will struggle as a blocker in the NFL, where TJ Hockenson is the all-purpose, every-down, inline tight end that's going to be in the game on the five-yard line, is going to be scoring touchdowns. He has double-digit touchdowns in his range of outcomes at the NFL level. I think that he is a lock. There are very few sure things that come along at the tight end position over the years. He's one of the few sure things. He is a lock to be productive.
A lock. Well, okay, so and here's my take on this, and we've talked about it on our own podcast before. He's bust proof.
TJ Hawk is bust proof.
Okay. So here's my thing. We've talked about this before. The tight end position, if you analyze the production, it is always a lot less than you're gonna see at receiver for obvious reasons. But there is a threshold that these players need to meet to in a production standpoint to kind of become that guy in the future. There's very few George Kittles. And if George Kittle didn't have the athleticism that he had, obviously we would question if he is where he is today. But you look at guys like Greg Olsen, 40 catches, 14 yards per reception. Kelsey, 45 catches, 14 and a half yards per reception. Witten, 39 catches. Ertz, 69. The obvious difference in this group. But you can go down the list and look at all the great guys, and they had about 40 receptions coming out of college. TJ Hockenson falls into that range. That 49 catch, his career average of 14.8 yards per reception is right on
par. You know
right
where that yards
par.
Per reception comes from with Hockenson? Yards after the catch. I have watched Hockenson play, and
tape.
He is impressive. I mean, he is this guy. He really is the amalgam tight end where you just put a Travis Kelce, a Zach Ertz, and a particle acceleration chamber, and then out steps TJ Hawk.
I think you've launched his ADP.
I mean,
right
he is
now.
A superhero tight end. He is going to be good. He is a certainty. A lock.
All right,
do
Matt.
You
okay.
see, do you see a George Kittle ceiling for TJ Hawk, the lock?
Well, he's not as athletic as Kittle, so there's no way he's going to have a 1,300-yard season. That's just once a generation you see George Kittle. Because of the yards after the catch that George Kittle posted last season were hundreds more than the next tight end on the list. It was a spectacular athleticism display. It was also lucky, so he benefited from a lot of random chance and just running wide open with no one, all green grass in front of him on an NFL football field. That's not going to happen again next year. That's why George Kittle's a sell, by the way. I'm putting George Kittle on the block. I've already Ooh. Traded him Ooh. In a couple leagues where I had him because it's impossible for him to replicate the per-target efficiency from last season. And San Francisco will be upgrading their wide receiver core this year. But I believe TJ Hockenson has the ability to be even more consistent year to year. We're going to see how much George Kittle fluctuates in the production year to year. But because Hockenson is going to be in the game in all game situations, he's going to maximize touchdown totals, and it'll help smooth out his production year to year. He won't have to rely on the yards after the catch as much.
So tell me this, Ryan. Is there another Iowa State tight end that you like better than Hockenson, or is Hockenson your tight end one?
Yeah, I mean, again, this tight end class as a whole, you and I haven't chopped it up yet, Matt, but we definitely will. It comes down to I like the depth throughout. I like the talent throughout. Not the type of athletes that we had in 2017, but really at the top, you're like you just said, you're looking at the two Iowa products. If it's not TJ Hawk the lock, it's going to be Noah Fant, who absolutely scorched the combine, which everyone kind of kind of expected. So again, it's one of those things you're not necessarily going to count it twice. But I will say it's interesting. You pull up player profiler. There's a picture of somebody on Noah Fant's player comparables, and it is George Kittle.
Of course it is. Yeah, they're very comparable. George Kittle was not supplanted by his teammate at any point during his career at Iowa. Noah Fant was, and that's the indictment.
I mean, come on, though.
He became the number two option behind TJ Hawk, and for that reason, and that reason alone, Hawk is number one. Hawk's also more versatile. So we know that NFL offenses prize versatility more than ever, and there's a bunch of reasons why. Well, those are the two primary reasons why. I also think Hawkins is going to be drafted earlier, at least 10 slots earlier. So you got a lot of reasons why Hawk's number one. But you love Fant and Hawk because they were competing against each other. It's the ultimate teammate effect in play with these two tight ends, where you have by far and away the two best tight ends both competing with each other on the same team. There's hundreds of college football teams all on the same team. They are propelling one another. I think that Hawkinson's better than we even know because of the presence of Fant. And I think Fant is better than we know because of the presence of Hawkinson. I want both of them.
Yeah, Hawk probably ends up as my one as well. But again, I'm curious, Matt. The last question, we'll move on to another one here. How close is it between Fant and Hawk for you as far as rookie rankings? Not close at all.
If you are not as athletic, but you're more productive and you do it with yak, then to me, you've really pulled away from your competitor in that passing game. If the athleticism were flipped, right, and Fant was almost as productive as a lesser athlete, then I'm thinking, oh, wait, maybe he wasn't just leveraging athleticism against far inferior secondaries, right? That's the Hakeem Butler corollary. Hakeem Butler needs to be discounted because he's
taking advantage
of his size and athleticism against inferior secondaries. Well, Fant wasn't able to do that to the degree that he outproduced TJ Hawk. So Hawk did it with lesser athleticism, but more versatility and better blocking skills. He is the ultimate two-way tight end to ever enter the league, maybe since Rob Gronkowski. So it's possible he's the best tight end to come into the league since Rob Gronkowski. So for that reason, I don't think it's that close, but I think they're both great.
Yeah,
I think of Hawk as a better version of Dallas Goedert, if we want to look back in recent memory to some of the great two-way tight ends that come into the league. So that would be a great comparison. And with the Eagles, you see Ertz playing that Fant role, and you see Goddard playing that Hawk role. So it's possible that in their first year, that Fant is more productive based on the role that their ultimate NFL team ends up playing them in. But I think over time, as I said, I think the consistency, just like I think over time, Goddard will find a way. Over time, TJ Hawkinson is going to outproduce Noah Fant.
All right, so, okay, let's go to this next one then. This is the question where it's got to be unanimous or something is definitely wrong here. The most overrated wide receiver in this rookie class.
Riley Ridley.
So you're saying it's
overrated wide receiver prospect in the history of the NFL, Riley Ridley.
So, okay, here's
taking a blowtorch, bro.
If you had to guess...
If you like Riley Ridley, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing.
If you had to guess what round he gets drafted
quit. Just
in...
quit analyzing wide receivers forever if you like Riley Ridley.
If he goes in the second round, I'm going to lose my mind because this will be one of the
There's no way, right? There's no way.
No, I think there's definitely a way.
Oh my God, it's scary. NFL teams are terrifying.
They should resign immediately. They don't deserve to have a job.
No, there's definitely a way that he goes in the second round. But what's crazy is the depth at the athleticism in this draft class alone.
They didn't book wide receiver? Like, what? What is this world we're living in? Is this the Doriel Green Beckham effect?
It could be. I mean, but here's the thing. Riley Ridley hasn't done anything special to garner this sort of draft capital, but I've still seen him. Beckham. I've still seen him in the top 50.
Doriel Green Beckham had size-adjusted athleticism. Riley Ridley doesn't even have that. Riley Ridley checks zero boxes. It's
no
rare
tape,
that we see
nothing.
An NFL draft prospect because generally to be a prospect that garners any attention whatsoever, you have to check some boxes. To see the first wide receiver in my career in this business check zero boxes was jarring.
He's got no off-field issues, baby. It's the total opposite of Doriel Green Beckham.
keeps that floor nice and padded.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything wrong. I guess I would say when we're talking about
touting Riley Ridley, you should be embarrassed.
It's not
you
good. So we all agree that Riley Ridley is okay.
Unanimous.
All right.
It's off.
Okay. All right. Let's move on then. Most overrated.
Yeah, he will have a fantastic career in the CFL.
Oh, there was the take I was expecting.
I thought it was gonna be a super late AAF joke, but CFL works as well.
All right, Matt, give me this most overrated rookie running back.
Devin Singletary. He's still being ranked in the top five in some places, in the top 10 in a lot of places, and I don't see it. He went to a small school, right? If you go to a small school and you're not athletic and you weren't super active in the passing game, I mean really active, he was moderately active but not active enough, then what are you? You're a strong runner between the tackles against substandard competition? Without the athleticism that would suggest that you can do it at the next level, why are we talking about Devin Singletary in the top 10? Makes no sense. Even in a weak draft class, does not belong in the top 10. Usually the Florida Atlantic running backs get pushed off to the side, and we're the ones building the case, right? Even like South Florida, even Marlon Mack, we were trying to build a case for this guy. Oh, no, he doesn't bounce runs outside. He's versatile. He's a bell cow. Turns out we were right. With Devin Singletary, we will be right. He will be flushed out of the league soon enough.
Okay. Okay, all right. Well, dude, here's mine. And I don't think it's particularly crazy to say, but I'm not a fan of Benny Snell. I don't see it. He lacks the athleticism. He's not a dynamic player. His closest comp on player profiler may be Corey Clement, but at least
this
Clement's...
This is even an interesting take. Is he even good enough to fade?
No. I'm not even sure. I've seen him in top 10s.
Well, why did you even write this name down?
Here's the thing.
Is anyone
tracking
this guy?
Yeah.
Think he's going to be anything?
On some recent Twitter polls, there was four options, and he was one of them when there was eight running backs left. I'm just saying. Benny Snell, check him out.
Is it in consideration to be a top 10 running back?
So I think...
I think the reasoning behind Snell... top 10, the worst class... that we've seen in recent memory, this class. Benny Snell in the top 10, get out of here.
I agree.
Yes, Snell was the name that I had jotted down as well, and I jotted down another one, but we'll talk about it in a second. But I think people that are touting Benny Snell, they're looking at it from a pure production standpoint. He has had a productive run at Kentucky.
Didn't Monte Ball kill that forever, this idea that you just look at production? Didn't Monte Ball teach everyone that lesson forever, that you can't do that?
Yeah, I'm out here just trying to connect the dots because much like Nate, I don't. Again, I watched Benny. I tried to watch Benny. It's just to me.
You can't watch him.
You can't watch him, and it brought back memories of when people were, for whatever the reason, touting Akram Wadley over at Iowa. I just,
you know,
it's
who
just,
it reminds me of David Cobb.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because there was enthusiasm around David Cobb's strength between the tackles, as if that fucking matters.
Well, if you're not an athlete,
truck defenders at the college level, good luck with that in the NFL. No, you need to be elusive. That's what matters. That's what wins in the NFL.
Well, that's my thing about the whole player profiler comp with Corey Clement. I get why it's there, but we're talking about a 47th percentile for Benny Snell and a 75th percentile agility score for Corey Clement. So very different. We've talked about it on the show before. If you're not a speed guy.
Well, some players don't have close comps, Nate.
No, I get it. But if you're not athletic, you need to have that agility score as a running back to succeed. And Benny Snell doesn't have it. He might have production, to the ceiling. But in this case,
Saying Benny Snell? I thought for sure you were going to go David Montgomery here.
I'm not going David Montgomery because I actually like David Montgomery. I don't think he's...
No, you don't.
I don't think David Montgomery... Well, I don't think he's a top five
you're
running back in the
David
class.
You're fading David Montgomery. You think those that have David Montgomery in their top three are idiots.
Okay, you're making this up now. I didn't say that. I will tell you this, though. I'm not a big fan of David Montgomery whatsoever.
No, you're not a fan at all.
I don't have him in the top five in a not good running back class.
David Montgomery.
He's not overrated, though, to me, because there are things in his profile.
He's overrated.
No, he's broke almost the most tackles in all of college football. He's one of the more elusive running backs in college football. At least he's got those advanced
metrics.
Sounds like
you're reading a scouting report on David Cobb.
At least he's got those advanced metrics to support him. There is nothing for Benny Snell to be in anybody's top 10 whatsoever. I get why David Montgomery would be in someone's top 10.
This is a cold take.
No one's touting
Benny Snell.
Why are
His headshot on Player Profiler is a snail.
I could bring up plenty of lists that have Benny Snell in the top 10. That's what I'm going to do for the next week. I'm just going to tweet them at you.
What about I'm going to throw out one more name just to get Matt's take on it, and Nate, you can speak on it as well. Someone who had, speaking of good combine, someone that had a disastrous combine, Elijah Holyfield. I've seen, much like Nate with Benny Snell here, I've seen, you know, people still ranking him in that again, albeit towards the end of the top 10, but he's still in that conversation for some people. And you have a combine that bad. Again, I'm of the mind that combine is not the end all be all, but run
Mike Clay had
4.7.
I saw Mike.
Is that right, Clay? Clay was still down him there. Clay's a pretty knowledgeable dude, obviously. But you run a 4.7.
We don't have Benny Snell, Devin Singletary, or Elijah Holyfield in our top 20 on the Player Profiler Dynasty rookie running backs. We have Divine Ogzigbo. I know it's Divine. I get it.
Yeah, this is bits been going on.
We have Divine Ogzigbo, Ty Johnson, Darren Hall, all ranked higher than these sub-athletes that have low ceilings in the NFL.
You just dropped a Darren Hall?
Darren Hall in the top 15.
Hey, man, you're dropping
his... Zigbo and Travis Homer and Ty Johnson, running backs that actually have the ability to break out in the NFL and be productive because they deliver the athleticism.
Whoa, bro,
there's
I love Darren
some,
Hall.
Some athletic running backs that weren't productive at the college level, so they're still long shots, but you could build a case for Kareef White, right? If you're going to... take a chance, throw a dart on a running back in a timeshare or a running back that wasn't the starter, right? Someone like Elijah Holyfield, you might as well go with Kareef White. He actually has athleticism.
Here's the problem for me with the Elijah Holyfield situation. I feel like he's one of these running backs that's getting the air quote benefit of the doubt because of his tape speed versus his real speed. This benefit of the doubt is not being given to every running
back. What's tape speed?
They're saying he looks, obviously, you know what this is. He looks like he's faster on film.
I don't know what that is. We have a way to measure speed, and that's the way to measure speed.
I don't disagree, but this is what's getting thrown around. I mean, you can go literally Twitter search this, and there are a ton of people that are still saying that they're a fan of Elijah Holyfield because his tape speed was good, because he looks good on tape, and they're not just going to lean on the athletic testing.
All right.
It's gross. It's gross.
I feel like the Twitter film grinder archetype, I feel like that is a dying breed. That, you know, within 5 years that person's going to be extinct. There just won't be that person out there. It's just been, they've been so disproven by data. They've just been just marginalized to the far corners of social media. It won't last. They can't survive much longer.
They're going to get replaced by automation.
That species is on its way out.
All right, let's... okay, listen. All right.
They're in the Pleistocene, and the Ice Age is about to be over.
All right, most underrated rookie wide receiver is?
Andy Isabella.
Okay.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like Isabella is an obvious, you know, top 10 guy. I don't think he's underrated.
Is he an obvious top 10 guy? He's from Massachusetts. I assume that the small school players are not obvious top 10 candidates.
He ran a 4.31.
When I look at top 10 lists, I see a lot of Hakeem Butlers and Marquise Browns.
Hakeem Butler,
see Kelvin Harmons all ahead of Andy Isabella. I have Andy Isabella in the top 5, ahead of Butler and Brown and Harmon. That's why I believe he's underrated. His ceiling is top 3 wide receiver in this class. He is the best at double moves. He is the best route runner. He is one of the fastest. So he has a skill set and a sort of a toolbox of traits that is as good as any wide receiver in this class. If I were an offensive coordinator, I may be most excited to get Andy Isabella installed in my offense than any other player in this class. He's such a fun player. He's so versatile. There's so much you can do for him, and he can help the other players. So if I'm starting a franchise today, I want Andy Isabella in my offense because he helps everybody. He can stretch the field. He can run underneath and get open at any given time on third down. And I think he's the best double move wide receiver in this class. Think about the double moves he's going to be pulling in the. I can't wait. I'm so excited. And you like Dominator ratings, right? Like 52.2% Dominator rating, 97th percentile. If you're going to go with a fourth year dominator rating, you might as well go with the most dominant of the dominator ratings in their fourth year. Andy Isabella's better than Hakeem Butler. Andy Isabella, it's not like the competition wasn't much different than what Hakeem Butler had internally at Iowa State. I mean, get out of here. Give me Andy Isabella. Stud.
I don't think he's outside the top 10 for most people. I don't know that he's inside the top 5, but I feel like you and Ryan are kind of doing this a bit differently. I feel like a lot of Ryan's lists
are kind of... Ashton Doolin. I have Ashton Doolin in the top 10. Anyone else have Ashton Doolin in the top 10?
Fuck no.
His dominator rating's even higher.
No, I don't have Ashton Doolin
in the top 10. And his all-around athleticism is one of the best profiles in this class. He looks like this year's Justin Watson in a good way. 111.6, 93rd percentile speed score. When you post a 60% dominator rating and the high yards per reception and the early breakout age, you do it at a small school, you're like, okay, well, prove to me you're a good athlete, then we can talk. He did that, so now we're talking about him.
Justin Watson and
is a value enough for Nate Liss? When it tumbles from my lips.
I'm not sure if I'm considering... Here's the thing. I don't know that Ashton Doolin is underrated.
You need a third receiver from me?
No, just hear me out here. Is Ashton Doolin really underrated when he came from the smallest school I've ever heard of and we're all talking about him? Shouldn't we not be talking about him at all for him to be underrated? Right? Like, everybody's got him in the top 15. He's in top 15 everywhere. He went to Malone. You can't name one team he played in college. You can't.
Someone tell me where Malone is.
Penny Hart is underrated.
Exactly.
Penny Hart has
there you go. That's sure.
the best freshman season, the best first season at the college level of any wide receiver in this class. But like Juju Smith-Schuster and wide receivers before him, he's going to be underdrafted because he flamed out in his final season. He's very much the Matt Breida of wide receivers. Was a mega producer, got injured, and then had a mysterious... failed last season at the college level, but he came out early, right? He came out, he had an injury red shirt. So he actually had another year of eligibility at Georgia State. And he said, no, I'm coming out. So you look at Penny Hart's first two seasons, they're more productive than any other wide receiver's first two seasons. And I believe he's in the top 10 in the Breakout Finder database. He is underrated. Another small school wide receiver that's not getting talked about enough. We have him well inside the top 20. Do a lot of people have Penny Hart in their top 20? No. A lot of people have Ashton Doolin in their top 10? No. A lot of people have Andy Isabella in their top 5? No!
The problem with Penny Hart is he shit the bed in athleticism.
Enough for you? Enough sleeper wide receivers for you? Do you need more?
Well, you only named two. I'm not going to count Andy Isabella.
For sleeper wide receivers for a breakout finder?
Yeah, you give me two of them.
When is enough?
Here's one. I'll throw one at you. And the only thing that I'm going to say about him is that the size is really what's playing against him. But Greg Dortch is a wide receiver that a lot of people should be a fan of. He wasn't able to test at the combine. It seems like it. The problem is, and this is where you're going to have to pump the brakes, he's 5'7", 173 pounds.
Yeah, so, if you're that small, you need a blaze. Slight. You need Andy Isabella, and so, he did not do that.
He ran a 4.49.
Because he did not do that at 5'7", 173, he's a long shot to be anything more than a special teamer in the NFL.
I mean, he ran a 4.49.
He's going to be a great kick returner, especially punt returner. I mean, I want Greg Dortch returning my punts, but I don't necessarily know where he fits in an NFL offense.
I mean, he was dominant in college from his freshman year. He's played the freshman year of 700 yards.
The stature really matters.
It's probably true.
Speed at that stature really matters. Where you have these all-purpose, traditionally sized wide receivers like Deebo Samuel and Paris Campbell with athleticism that I would prefer over a Greg Dortch,
for
even
sure.
though Greg Dortch was significantly more productive.
Isn't this a conversation about underrated? Of course I want Deebo Samuel over Greg Dortch. Of course. Of course.
Well, I have Andy Isabella ranked ahead of Deebo Samuel.
Oh, that's yeah. That's fine.
I'm not sure that you have Greg Dortch ranked any higher than he should be ranked.
I don't have Greg Dortch ranked probably outside the top 15.
Yeah, so this is a terrible selection by you.
Which is fair. Oh, but that's my ranking. I don't think that's the same for everybody.
What about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? Where do you have him?
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is definitely after his pro day inside the top 10 without a doubt, and he's probably right there in the top six. Right, that's so where he moved up to, for sure.
He's absolutely underrated by the Dynasty League community, NFL draft analysts. That actually is a selection that makes sense for you to talk about here.
But that's why he didn't because he didn't test at the combine. Had he tested at the combine...
Is this your show? Why am I producing your show?
If he hadn't tested at the combine... You know, like he didn't. This is what put us here. So if he tested the combine, there is no conversation to be had. He's already in all these lists. There's no question. He would have already vaulted himself way up these lists. The fact that he didn't test and he had his pro day and it went very under the radar. Very few people have really been talking about this other than us who are really deep into
the... Stanford didn't tweet it out or anything.
Unless you're following the account, there's a lot of people that weren't really aware of what was going on. And I'm still trying to get answers to some of the questions about his three cone and stuff like that. But yeah,
really? How's that investigation going?
Oh, I've reached out to people that were at the pro day, and apparently they don't want to answer anything. Right, so I don't know what to tell you.
Radio silence.
Wow. Great.
I don't know. Do you got an answer on his pro day? Because you haven't put his speed score on the goddamn website yet. I'm trying to find it. There's nothing there. And I saw you give somebody
your connection to the Washington Post, this investigative reporting, should really help you here.
Well, nobody's got an answer, so I don't know how you figure out this information, but it's hard to vault these guys up when you've got limited information. It's how you get incomplete scoring and do incomplete analysis. I'm sure you would agree with that.
This is like your Watergate for NFL.
I'm sure you would agree with that statement.
Athleticism.
Okay, Ryan, you got to jump in here and give me one.
I've been letting you guys go back and forth, and it's making for fantastic content here. And obviously, Matt was nice enough to give us what, two, three names here.
He gave us two good ones.
More than I should have had to give.
One of them wasn't.
I'm gonna throw out a name here that, and I'm very interested in Matt's take here, given the disagreements that we've had so far. But Stanley Morgan Jr. from Nebraska. There's been some delicate debate back and forth. How about that? Stanley Morgan Jr. was a name that I wrote down. Nearly topped 1,000 yards in 2017, 10 scores, just over 1,000 yards last year, 7 scores. So the production that we'd like to see, obviously not necessarily eye-popping numbers, but more than adequate. Rolled into the combine, 4.5 speed, 38-inch vertical, 125-inch broad. So again, checking those boxes as well. And he's a player that I really haven't seen anyone really talk about. I know Nate kind of just circled back on him. And kind of, again, pulled the curtain back a little bit. Someone that the Breakout Finder is actually touting. So outside of that, though, it's been pretty quiet for Stanley Morgan, a player that, again, has the production, has the athleticism, player
he's
profile has
comparable
him.
To Anthony Miller.
Yeah.
And if he came out last season, then I think that he would have been in the top 10. But this is a very deep, very strong class. And players that look like Anthony Miller aren't going to check in the top 10 in this class with the depth of talent that it has. But he's absolutely in the teens somewhere. He's always in the teens somewhere. He's in the teens somewhere on the player profiler wide receiver rankings. But if you break out that late, right, the age 21 breakout is not good. But the burst and the agility are there. So really for him, like Anthony Miller, it does hinge on draft capital. Anthony Miller got drafted in the first three rounds. That was huge. Stanley Morgan slips to round 5, round 6. It's a problem. But if scouts are watching this tape that you're impressed by, he goes to a plum landing spot in round 2-3, then he's going to rise. Then there's a chance he breaks into the top 12, for example. Because it's not hard for a guy like Stanley Morgan to supplant Terry McLaurin, Emmanuel Butler, Emmanuel Hall, even Kelvin Harmon. If he goes before Kelvin Harmon, Kelvin Harmon was a later breakout, and his athleticism dwarfs Kelvin Harmon. So it's a very easy jump for Stanley Morgan to go from late teens to number 10 wide receiver in this class. There are not superstars that he would supplant. So that's really where you're going to see the big movement after the draft, the rankings. It's not in the top 10, right? The top 10, there's going to be some nominal movement where guys are moving up one or two slots here and there, but you're going to see some players moving up 7, 8, 9 slots depending on where they're drafted outside, you know, when you look at the rankings outside the top 10. I can see that with him. He has the potential. But for example, I'd rather have Penny Hart. I'd rather have Greg Dortch. They're all right there in that mix.
All right, so let's get on to the last question then. I feel like we could stretch some of these conversations for a long time. I like Stanley Morgan too, but Matt did cover a lot of it. He's going to be a guy that draft capital is everything for. So, all right, last question for you, Matt.
The problem with Stanley Morgan that we haven't talked about is his name. It's a boring name.
Financial institution.
Yeah, they're not making a lot of Stanleys anymore. Let's be honest.
Very tough, concrete name, though.
Red flag.
Should be confident in him. It's going to be rock solid.
And that's the reason why Jazz Ferguson is ranked a couple slots ahead of Stanley Morgan. He's got the athleticism and the name. His name's Jazz. If you're going to go with a late breakout guy, you might as well go with a guy named Jazz. Or a guy that you can rationalize away the late breakout, like Jalen Hurd. Like, there's a reason why Jalen Hurd broke out late, because he transferred and converted, right? He was a positional convert. And so if you're a position convert from running back to wide receiver and you transfer, right, there's a bunch of reasons why you might have had a delayed breakout. Stanley Morgan doesn't have those reasons behind him. And he was at Nebraska. He wasn't at Ohio State. He wasn't at Alabama, Clemson. It's a little more understandable when those wide receivers take longer to break out. It's less understandable when an Iowa State wide receiver or a Nebraska wide receiver takes a while to break out. So in that way, Stanley Morgan's a lot more similar to, as we talked about, Kelvin Harmon and Hakeem Butler than he is someone like Paris Campbell.
All right, man. I'm gonna get you this last question because I know you got to get out of here and go do some pressers or something or whatever it is you do this late at night. Most underrated rookie running back is?
Ty Johnson, by far and away. I don't know why Ty Johnson isn't locked into the top 15 and leaking into the top 10s for a lot of people. When you look at what he did at Maryland when he was healthy as a sophomore, he went over 1,000 yards, but he wasn't the primary back. How is that possible? How is it possible, Nate? You go over 1,000 yards and you're not the primary back. Oh, you know how? 9.1 yards per carry. That's how he did it. And he's an exceptional athlete. So he's one of the best athletes in this class. He's right there with Miles Sanders with athleticism. He has that 16 catch season. So he has, you know, at least a season where he caught 15 plus passes. So he meets certain thresholds that we like to see to say, this is a primary back. This, if things break right, this running back could operate as a bell cow at the next level, just like Marlon Mack. Right? The same case we made for Marlon Mack can be made for Ty Johnson. And in this class, where it's so anemic, it's easy to see him jumping up into the top 10 if he gets drafted earlier than he's projected to go right now. So if Ty Johnson goes in round 4, for example, woo, he's going to pop. Another guy is Rodney Anderson. Rodney Anderson goes higher than the NFL draft media expects. He's going to pop as well. So these are the two running backs. It's Ty Johnson and Rodney Anderson. They have the feature back size and athleticism and passing game skills that could potentially at the next level put them on par with Miles Sanders, where a lot of these other running backs either don't have the size, they don't have the athleticism, or they don't have the passing game skills. But Ty Johnson has it. Rodney Anderson has it. They're both underrated.
And those are both really good ones. I'm a big fan of Rodney Anderson, man. That guy has
it's an
the
upside
most,
play.
It's the most it's insane injury
they
history
have the upside.
You've ever seen in your whole life. I mean, that guy's been through hell and back. It's pretty unbelievable. But that's a guy that I would definitely want to draft if I can get a hold of him, you know, later in the rounds, because that history is obviously going to weigh against him once he goes through the draft process. But he would be a guy that most NFL teams are going to want to take a shot on, because if they can get a healthy running back, this would have been a definite top 10 in this class for me if Rodney Anderson was capable of testing, you know, was healthy enough to do everything. But for me, my guy is going to be Mike Weber. 5'10", 211 pounds out of Ohio State. This is a guy, in terms of underrated, I know Matt and I have talked about him, and Matt has him higher than I think most people do, but this is a name that just doesn't come up.
Is Mike Weber underrated? You really think so?
I feel like he's a name I don't hear enough, I guess. And here's
is
why
this one of those running backs that you and Bob Woodward uncovered in your in-depth investigation?
Who the fuck is Bob Woodward? Here's the thing. Here's my issue. He's not a guy who has, you know...
You don't know who Bob Woodward is?
He doesn't have staggering statistics. Who the fuck is Bob Woodward? I don't know.
It's a made-up Bernstein, name. I'm convinced it's a made-up name. Yeah.
Nobody
broke the Watergate story in the 70s?
Nobody's going to even pull this name besides you right now. Nobody's pulling... You've already made
Bob
a Washington
Woodward?
Post reference. You got it on your brain. You're pulling it out right now. For the love of God, let's talk about Bob Woodward. I want to talk about him. I feel like he's underrated because I didn't know who he was.
He's definitely not underrated. He might be overrated, and Carl Bernstein is underrated.
These names, man.
I'd rather talk about Carl Safchick. Bleed over this, too. Look, so I just think
Carl
personally
Bernstein
that-
is the Rodney Anderson of investigative reporters.
Oh, my God. All right, Ryan, please, have a take. Give me yours. I'm moving on from mine.
Yeah, I'm gonna stir the pot, man. I have a Sunbelt player. Jalen Moore. Okay, has the production, but again, we have to count for the conference here. I know I'm gonna get hit with the conference stuff.
Well,
but
Matt
let me
didn't
just...
do it with Doolin, so don't worry about it.
It's true. So sophomore, junior campaigns, 1,400 yards of sophomore season, almost 6 yards a touch, 10 scores. That over 1,000 yards again his junior campaign. Nearly 6 yards a touch again, and a dozen scores. So again, checking the production box. Unfortunately, did not test. Broke his ankle senior campaign. You know, obviously the combine. We don't have any of those numbers. But he did make, if you guys are familiar, he did make the Bruce Feldman freak list. Which again showcases annually the country's, you know, freakiest talent, freakiest athletes. And again, rumored to have 4.37 speed, 38.5-inch vertical, 11-foot broad. So again, this is a player that we're told is athletic. Obviously, we don't have the numbers in front of us to back that up. And again, he's coming from a smaller conference, coming off the injury. So these are some obvious flags.
This is very much a Ty Johnson-esque play. He just doesn't have the receiving chops. That's the problem.
I would have liked to see him catch
more passes. When you get 237 attempts as a sophomore, but only catch 5 passes in the passing game,
no bueno.
That tells me that you're weak in that area. And if you're coming from Appalachian State, I'd like you to be a better receiver.
It's fair enough. Again,
Matt's not
going
to be a fan of Jonathan Taylor next year, by the way. I'm just going to let you know right now. You're going to hate him.
Jalen Moore. Why? Jalen Moore has potentially feature size and
yes, sir.
Size-adjusted athleticism. And that's – if you just have that in this class, then you're ahead of a lot of the running backs that are available because so many of them are so bad in a lot of areas.
So who else you got, Ryan? I know you got more on that list. So that was Jalen Moore. Do you have anybody after Moore that you think is underrated in this class?
Yeah, I got again. This is a guy that I kind of had highlighted and circled back in our running back show, and I would love to get Matt's take on him too. So Travis Homer from Miami, again, a guy
Oh my God. Why did you have to say that's such a Homer pick?
No, Travis Homer's a Homer pick. All right. So here's why I like Travis
Homer.
Get it?
Homer pick?
Yeah, we got it.
I put it together. So 5'10", just over that 200-pound mark, which again is not necessarily ideal, but again, short of the combine, 4.48 speed, nearly a 40-inch vertical.
If you like this archetype of player, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right, then why not Travis Homer is my thinking. We have other running backs that are going a little bit higher, like Justice Hill, probably drafted higher in the NFL draft, but what's the big difference between Travis Homer and Justice Hill? They both have incredible burst and straight line speed. They're both 200 pounds. It's just that Travis Homer is younger. Travis Homer is the youngest running back in this class. So based on the great burst and the youth and the fact that he was commanding touches early in his career at Miami, a competitive school for internal touches, right? Miami gets 4- and 5-star recruits last time I checked. So those are all the positives in Travis Homer's, you know, on the positive side of Travis Homer's ledger. He's best comparable to Matt Breida. So I like Travis Homer, absolutely.
I like the breeder comparison. To the other name that I had written down, and then we'll get Matt out of here on this, is someone that played alongside a Matt Kelly favorite, possibly the Matt Kelly favorite, running mate at one point in time with the Jeremy McNichols, Alexander Madison, from Boise State.
I didn't want you to say.
Why did you have to two of the three running backs? Why didn't you just call it a day with Travis Holmes?
You had three wide receivers. I had to give you three Madison. Running backs.
I tried to stop you before you could do it. I should have texted you when I saw this name on the list.
Boys, talk to me. Talk to me about Alec.
He's slow.
Yeah.
He wasn't efficient at the college level. He wasn't a target magnet at the college level. There's nothing to like.
Madison
assured to be a bust.
Well, here's the thing. Hold on.
Winnipeg.
Madison. Okay, listen.
There's two Canadian League football references.
Is one of these guys that was known for his tackle breaking and elusiveness. Again, he's one of these guys. I get it. I know Matt hates to hear this, but he's one of the guys that ranked highly.
Actually, I don't get it. I don't know why there's this fascination with running backs that truck defenders at the college level, and then they go to the NFL level, and they themselves get trucked.
I think that there's something to be said for that. I'm not a fan of Alex Madison. I'm just telling you the reason that his name comes up is because of this. Because if he didn't have those things going for him,
hard between the
I would tell you.
How many times do we have to learn this lesson?
That's not an indicator
of NFL success.
About Boise State.
If anything, it's a red herring.
We're hands off of Boise State forever.
Stay away from running backs that look like Alexander Madison.
Or anybody from Boise State.
We've learned this lesson time and time again.
I've learned so much. I think you're on the right track. Who are you talking to? You went
Travis Homer. You're focusing on the right details. And then you just dropped a turd of a tape.
You know what, Madison.
I'm ashamed.
I didn't realize Nate was also on the other side of the fence here. And I didn't realize I was about to walk out and just hit the beehive. So I'm actually kind of glad that I dropped that name, that you two are just so far removed from everything that's related to
it, so that you can drop him in your ranking.
This was an absolute mistake to bring up Alexander Madison.
He is one of the most useless running back prospects I've ever seen.
He's a yard per. Yeah, it's just a turd all around. I'm just not a fan. And here's the thing.
There's a handful of true bag of dicks running back prospects.
Yep, definitely. He might be two bags of dicks. I'm not really sure where to stop the bags of dicks. And he's getting buzz from people because of, again, that tackle breaking, that elusiveness. Everybody's searching for that Kareem Hunt. Everybody wants that profile. And I'm just not a fan of Madison. I'm not a fan of Boise State, and I talked about this on the show with Matt the other day. I don't like the idea that you look at a college and you automatically look at these running backs coming out of it and go, oh, because of everyone before him, he's going to be like them. I don't think Madison's better than some of the guys that came out before him. I mean, McNichols had a significantly better profile. Doug Martin had a better profile and draft capital. I'm honestly not sure that Madison gets drafted. That's my take on Madison.
That's a heater.
That's my take on
Madison.
Well,
I'd rather have Jeremy Cox.
Yeah, sure. That's another good name. Yeah.
Right. If you want the low yards per carry guy that didn't command a lot of targets at the college level, that also wasn't a mega producer, why not Jeremy Cox? He has the size adjusted athleticism going for him, at least.
Yep.
So Madison 2017 over 5 yards a tout. That's substandard. Oh,
that's Mountain West Conference, incredible. Man. This is where I struggle with this.
5 yards of carry in college. Wow.
I didn't realize I was walking in here, bro.
Oh.
I will say this. The way you curb Upset Matt on this one, guy. The way you curb Matt is you point out in 2017, he had 28 receptions at 10.1 yards per reception. So on
it
his
matters.
Profile, that does stand out. That's a good thing. But there's so much around it that's just so terrible. That I'm just not sure.
We talked about the bag, several bags of dicks.
Don't say guys. Why are we saying it was Ryan who brought him up? I don't even want to talk about Madison.
Water.
So angry.
Fascination, man.
So pissed.
You're letting the film grinder community infect your brain as if there's an earworm. You need to get in there and pull it out.
Do something. Don't bring him up again.
That's it. One and done. One and done, boys.
Blasted earworm in your head.
Listen, Nate, get him. Gotta get Matt out of here, bro.
We gotta shuffle him out of here. All right, Matt, is there anything you want to say to the viewers of this? Anything you want to say? Another reporter's name, a third one that you can put, Cronkite or something that you got
make
buried
up, make up
deep
a name
back
again.
There. Yeah, Bob Jones or whatever it was.
I have the key to winning your Dynasty rookie draft.
Here we go.
Don't listen to anything Ryan Lope says.
Matt, it's been a pleasure as always, buddy. It always is.
Right on, man. Play him out. Play him out. All right, man. Thanks for coming on, and I'm sure we're going to get some good response to this, and maybe we'll get you back on another time. So thank you for the hot takes. Thank you for bringing up Ashton Doolin, who is not underrated. And Ryan, thank you for bringing up Madison, because that's the way this show needed to go out.
That's exactly what we needed to do.
All right, man. Thank you.